call your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Late Night with Benny Love. I'm your host, Benny Love, and you know how we do, right? Every episode we like to bring you information on love and relationships, and I've been getting quite a few emails and DMs about why don't I ever talk about marriage? Well, if you really want the true answer, that is, I was married for 10 years and I got divorced. So I don't think I'm probably the one to be really kind of giving advice on marriage. But that don't stop me from talking about it, right? And why? Because I just went and found somebody who've been married for 26 years, and this gentleman right here, he can really drop something on you, right? So we're going to talk to Mr. Vincent, Mr. Speaker Edwards. He was a college dropout, diagnosed with cancer, and faced dealing with mental and physical anguish of serving in the Army during the Gulf War. But Edwards was determined not to fall victim to his circumstance. He decided that no matter what he faced in life, he would make every effort to rise above mediocrity and realize the magnificent purpose he was destined to fulfill. Wow, I love that. Mr. Vincent, Mr. Speaker Edwards, can I call you Mr. Speaker?
You can call me Mr. Speaker.
There it is. Thank you for being on the Benny Love Show right here. You're listening to us on Bashani Radio app, or you can listen online at BashaniRadio.com. And make sure you go over to our Instagram and become our friend. You follow us, we may follow you back too, you know, and join our 100,000 people over there who are our close and personal friends, all right? Today, we're talking about how to make a marriage last. And Mr. Speaker has been married for 26 long, beautiful years, right? So you know,
yes,
me,
indeed.
I like to go to the professionals, you know, because I can tell you how to get out of marriage. I just can't tell you how to stay in it. But he'll rock it to you, right? I'm just messing with y'all. Man. Y'all know I'm messing with you. Mr. Speaker, here's the question. Tell me, how did you meet your beautiful wife?
Oh, wow. That it was at a cookout. We actually met. It was very, very interesting. One of my frat brothers said, I got somebody I want you to meet. And I was like, okay, no problem. So he introduced me to her. I said, oh, she looked all right. And so at the during the cookout, you know, back in the day, you know, I'm dating myself. I'm 54 years old, you know. So back in the day, we're on the college campus, and, you know, I asked her for a phone number. You know, back then, we said, you know, I got to get the digits. And so, and I always remember this, and I share this story often. Back then, there was this group called, you know, Morris Day in the Time.
Yeah, oh, you know what, Mr. Speaker, you actually are dating yourself now, though.
Hey,
because I know I got some people listening to this show going to be like, what in the world is a Morris Day and a time?
And you know what I got to say to them?
What is that, Google, brother? There it is. You ain't never lied on that one.
Yeah,
you ain't lied.
You got to Google it. So, and they had this song out called 777-9311, you know. And so I was like, okay, because, you know, the words were like, baby, what's your phone number? You know, and they had some other lyrics. And it said, you know, 777-9311. And, you know, she was nice looking. And so I asked her for a phone number. And then she wrote it down and gave it to me. I was like, you know, I thought I was a man. I was falling. I got back to the corner, you know, where I was. I opened up the paper. She had wrote down 7779311. I said, no, she didn't. Just Morris, date me. And so
that's
like,
funny.
I gotta show her the real deal. Who she messing with? She don't know. And you know, after that, you know, long story short, we've been married 26 years. I often tell my son, your daddy had swag back in the day. Still got it.
They don't even know what swag is nowadays.
So that's how we actually met.
You know, that is very, very powerful. Here's where I want to go with this. When did you know? How long had you guys dated? And when did you know it was time to take it to the marriage level? How long did you date prior to getting married?
We dated approximately 2 years before we got married, about a year and a half, 2 years. But, you know, I won't give you all the details, but there was this moment when I knew and something happened and I was just like, I can marry her. It was just, you know, an event that took place. And I was like, wow, because I was never, ever going to get married. I told my dad I'd never get married. And even when, you know, we were together.
Why was that? Why did you make that plan out for your future?
Because I wanted to be a player. You know, I didn't
Sookie, y'all know we talking to an OG, right? You know, anytime you hear an OG, somebody say, I want to be a player. You know we talking to OG right there. Go on ahead, brother.
And the OGs do the real deal. See, y'all need to learn from the OGs. Y'all would be social media and everything and shit.
Sicky. There you go.
Posting all your business on social media. But I'm just being real.
They don't even call her no more. They be like, give me your IG. They be like, hold up, what about your phone number? No, give me your IG. I'm going to check you out and then I'll holler at you. I'll DM you. It's like, won't you just give them the digits? You know, you want to DM him? All right, go ahead. All right, bro, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. We being real, and that's why they get caught up. Now, I wasn't hanging out and posting everything on social media and all in trouble. That's them new G's. But
I hear that one.
Yeah. So, that moment that something occurred, and I was just like, hey, you know, I could actually do this, because I never, ever wanted to get married, didn't want to be tied down, wanted to have the freedom to come and go and do as I please, let alone have children, you know. And it wasn't, you know, it was not that I experienced anything bad growing up. My parents were together. They didn't get divorced. It was just me, you know. I was like, I just want to be free, come and go as I please.
Whoa, that's powerful. So let me ask you then now, let's get into the part. I just want to give people a little heads up. So about, you know, where did this all come from? Now, you've been married for 26 years. Explain to my listeners, how do you get there? Because right now we seem to be in a society where it's almost not cool to be married for a long time. It's almost cool to be with somebody for a minute and then be out the next minute. 26 years. How do you get there?
Well, you know, it kind of reminds me of, you know, when I do my motivational speaking and I do some teaching, one book comes to mind, and that's Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And in that book, he says you have to begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. And so, when it comes to marriage, you have to begin with that end in mind. And what is that end? Till death do us part. And see, and that's where people fail to realize they get into marriage not knowing what it's all about. So the fundamental success of marriage begins first with understanding what it is and having God as a part of the marriage and entering into it knowing certain things. But what happens is we have, you know, internet, television, and all these shows portraying what the world deems as relationships and marriage, and people get that in their minds, but it's far from the truth. In order to really know what marriage is all about and to make it, you know, I'm just going to throw some more stuff out there. I'm a pastor, But, you know, I'm going to throw some stuff out of people. You know, if you want to do the old key sweat, make it last forever,
you got
to start from the beginning. And the beginning starts with God. And what happens is a lot of people don't get counseling.
Okay.
They don't understand what it means. And when I counsel young couples, I put it all on the table, letting them know, look, it's better for you not to get married than to get married and then experience all this stuff and want to get out. Because a lot of people, even when they're married and they start facing challenges, they look at how do I get out rather than how do I make this work?
No, and that's a great point right there, Vincent. That's a great point. Do you think that too many people run away the moment the first sign of trouble? Do you think that's what's happening nowadays? Because people, you know, like, you know, my mom and dad was married until he died. And that's the only man I've ever seen her with. You understand? Even though she, you know, she had kids prior to meeting my father. But as far as I can remember from a child, I've only seen her with my father. So do you think that's what is missing nowadays, that the younger generation don't want to stick around to work through it? They'd rather just get it over with.
It's easy to run away from something and to walk away than to stick with it. The challenge to that is they don't understand that entering into marriage, there are only certain reasons that God will allow. And even though he allows, it doesn't mean that you have to get divorced. There are only a few reasons. And I'm going to tell you, one of them is not irreconcilable differences. That's not a standard for getting out of a marriage. You know, just because I don't love you anymore. Well, what is love? How do you define love? When you understand what love really means, because we have one word, love, and it covers everything from relationships to I love ice cream and popsicles. But when you look at marriage, the term for love there is a word called agape, which means unconditional love. Means that I love you regardless of how you treat me. I'm going to love you. I'm not talking about being battered now. I'm not talking about that.
Okay.
But understanding that, you know, if you don't do these things for me, I'm still going to love you. Marriage is not a, if you do this, then I will do that. It's not a quid pro quo relationship.
Wow.
And all of that.
And a lot of people, Vincent, do that tit for tat type of stuff. Like, you know, I'll only do this for you if you do it for me. And to me, that just doesn't sound right and it doesn't feel right.
Yeah, it's not. And that's when you get into a lot of trouble. Because, you know, if they no longer do that for you, then you no longer want to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the thing. But what if a circumstance in life prevents them from being able to do certain things? Are you going to leave?
Exactly. Like losing a leg, losing an arm, or, you know, stuff that allows you to do your very, you know, normal stuff that, you know, it wouldn't have been a big deal,
right?
You know.
And a lot of people say, well, marriage is supposed to be 50-50. Well, sometimes it can be 50-50. Sometimes it may be 90-10. Sometimes it may be 70-30. Because here's the thing. What happens if the man is providing and doing a lot of stuff, and he loses his job, and he's unable to provide for 3 months, 6 months, 8 months, you're going to leave him?
Mm-hmm. Very good point.
You're going to leave him? I mean, because they can't provide, you know, that goes back to the days of we own the home, we own the been in love. So yeah, that just reminds me of no money, no honey. So if my money.
You ain't right, brother.
You want to really?
No money, no honey. Boy, I know that time, right?
If my money run out, then you gonna run away with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all about a good foundation, and even if you have a good foundation, it's not going to be easy. But you understand the difficulties that lie ahead, and you know, and here's the thing. you know, and people write their own vows and stuff when they get married. But I like to read something here. When I perform marriages, here's one of the things that I put a charge to the man. Basically, do you take this woman to be your wedded wife? And do you earnestly promise before God and these witnesses that you will love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, and that forsaking all others for her alone, you will perform unto her all the respect that a husband owes to his wife until God by death shall separate you. And that's deep. You know, that's deep. And when
I'm a quick question then. You're doing that because you want them to become aware of what?
Aware of the fact that things change over time. People change over time. One of the questions, or one of the things that I have them do when I met counsel young couples is, you know, I want y'all to turn and face one another. I want you to look into his eyes and you look into her eyes, and, you know, they all is love and they just think it's, ooh, 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 you know, they just think. And I said, what I want you to realize right now, that if you were to get married today, you're marrying everything you see and everything you don't see. Because when it happens 3 to 5 years down the line, you're going to be like, where did this come from? It was already there. It has just manifested itself. And so now the question becomes, when I told you, you're marrying everything you saw and you didn't see, what are you going to do about it?
That is a very powerful statement. If you're just joining us, we're speaking to Vincent, Mr. Speaker Edwards, and 26 years of beautiful marriage, and we're talking about marriage. And he left us with this statement of, when you get married, you're marrying everything that you see and everything that you don't see. That right there, ladies and gentlemen, is the quote of the year. You understand? Because you don't even understand that, how true that is and how powerful that really is. We get caught up in what we can see versus what we can't see. And the moment it shows up, we say, how did you get here? You didn't tell me about that. I don't like that. That ain't what I signed up for. But as you said, it was already there. Wow. That's deep. So what is the answer when these people, you know, what do people usually say when you ask them that or you tell them that? What is their response?
Their response is they just look. It's like, whoa. And I say, okay, so when it shows up, what are you going to do? I'm telling you, it's going to happen. There's no will it, is it? It's going to happen. What do you do when the unexpected shows up? That's why God has to be a part of this from the beginning, because it all deals with prayer. And people change over time. Their preferences change over time. Their looks change over time. You know, so what are you going to do? You going to run because she don't look the way she used to? Why not just say, baby, let's work out together?
There it is, because, you know, he ain't going to look the way he used to.
No, I mean, that reminds me of, you know, this sermon. I can't remember where I heard it from. This woman was saying, you know, I love my husband. Look at it. You know, when I married him, he had a whole lot of hair and not a lot of stomach. But now he got a lot of stomach and not a whole lot of hair. So, you
know, wow. I hear that.
But she stayed there, and she, you know, she didn't leave. So it gets back to understanding and going back from the beginning. Because I want to share this. You're asking me some stuff, and I'm going to take you someplace. The other part of that vow is, and that we forget, and why people run away from things. Another part of that vow that says, you know, I take so-and-so to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward. This is the part I like. For better or for worse, for richer or for poor, in sickness and in health. We hear the richer and we hear the better, but we don't like that worse.
You got that right. You definitely, and they definitely don't hear that porn. I can tell you that.
They don't hear the porn. So it's so here it is. It's just it's deep. So regardless of what happened, it's you and that other person. Now you're gonna need more than love. You know, you're gonna need that agape love, but you're gonna need to understand marriage and working together. So that's powerful. The other reason why things don't seem to work out, because we choose people for the wrong reasons. And we choose people who may be too much for us or maybe too little for us.
Hold that thought right there. That was very powerful. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, just in case you're joining us, you're listening to Late Night with Benny Love right here live from New York City. And we're talking to Mr. Vincent, Mr. Speaker Edwards, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Even coronavirus can't keep us apart because we love you so much. From all of us at Bashani Radio app, stay safe.
Stay safe.
Stay home.
Stay home.
And keep us blasting on your phones. Bashani Radio app, always talking about everything. Download us free in the App Store. Kaboom! You heard? Brooklyn, Queens, Bronx, Long Island, and money-making Manhattan. Home of Bashani Radio app.
New York, here we come!
From Wall Street to the boogie down Bronx, keep it locked in. We started from the bottom, now we here. Bashani Radio app, or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. Now we here.
And if you're just joining us, welcome back to the Late Night with Benny Love right here in New York City. And it's a wonderful day out here. I mean, it was hot today, and tonight it's a little cool, but it's even more cooler here in the studio as we talk to Mr. Speaker Vincent T. Edwards as he drops it down. 26 years of marriage, and he's going to be giving us some tips on how we can possibly get married and stay married. See, that's the key. Everybody can get married, but it takes a real special group of people, two people, to stay married. All right, Vincent.
Yeah.
Where we left off, man, and you was hitting us hard. So here's where I want to go right now. Do you remember your point that you were just getting on?
We were on so many. I have another point I was going to take you to.
Okay, wait, hold on. All right, so let's do this then. I'm going to let you do that point, and then I want you to give me three prerequisites that's needed before a couple gets married.
Three prerequisites. Wow. Before you get married, one prerequisite is that you need to go to counseling. That's one. That's count. You know, go to counseling. Two, you need to understand your spouse, your future spouse. When I say understand, I mean a complete understanding, because people tend to act out of their experiences in life. And so, what I'm trying to say, people bring baggage to the table. So you need to know what was their father like, what was their mother like, what was their home situation like. Did they come from this particular type of background? You know, getting to know them and understand them, because their experiences shape their behavior. For example, if a person, say you're a man and you're marrying a young lady who didn't grow up with a father in the house, and the mother was a central figure and did everything and was in control of everything, you need to know that. Because if they never grew up with a man in the house, how do they understand how to live with a man in the house? Because they saw mom doing everything, so they automatically assume I'm in charge when it comes to me being in the house. I'm going to run things. Time out. That's not how it's designed. Everybody has a specific role in the relationship. And I'm not saying just because he's a man, he got to pay all the bills. He may not be good at math. He may like to spend money. So she may need to pay the bills, you know, different things like that. But ultimate roles and responsibilities are clearly different for the man and the woman, because the woman was made for the man. And I want to make this clear. I'm not sitting here saying that it's a dictatorship, because I want to take you to scripture to where there is.
Wait, hold on just one second. You're not going to be on the Benny Love Show when you're just going to just ride over like that. Like, you're going to ride over that like it was a Hummer. You're just not going to do that right here. You're going to back that thing up right here, right? And you're going to say, you said the woman was made for the man. Please explain yourself. And hold on for a second, Vincent. The opinions the opinions expressed here are not necessarily that of Bashani Radio, the Benny Love Show, its affiliates, its associates, or its advertisers. The opinions expressed on this show are strictly that of the guests. Proceed, Mr. Vincent.
Oh, Lord. You had to distance yourself.
Vincent, I have millions of women that listen to this show, bro. You ain't about to get me killed walking out of the studio. Lost your mind.
I'm not gonna get you killed. But it's an understanding of what's going on. And that's why I'm saying, you know, I'm not saying here that I'm not telling any woman to follow a man that is not God then dictating them and telling them they got to do this because I'm the man and I say this and I say that. That's not it. I said mutual submission. But I also said that the woman was made for the man. So now if we go over to Genesis, when we looked at creation in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it said, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast." So basically, from there, what happened? We know the story of Adam and Eve. So Adam was put to sleep, took a rib, formed woman. And he said, "I shall call her, you know, woman, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." So the woman was created not to be subservient to, but as a helper to the man. Now that help, you know, goes both ways. So that's why I said the woman was made for the man. But the man has a responsibility to love and to cherish that woman. So now I gotta take y'all to scripture, because I gotta make sure you all are following me with this. Turn with me to, if you got your Bibles or your Bible on your phone, Proverbs.
For y'all don't know that Vincent is a pastor, and I got the wonderful jazz music playing in the background. So let me just turn it down when he go to the Bible.
You play your instrumental, man. Play your instrumental. I'm on your show. I'm like Jesus. He sat down and ate with everybody.
All right.
Good.
All right. I don't want to offend the pastor. I got the horns in the back going, dur, 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 and he's like, "Y'all turn your Bibles too."
Because, you know, I wanna lay it down, because you ask me a serious question.
All right, go ahead.
How you make it last? And Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22 says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, but not only that, and obtaineth favor of the Lord." So when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing, and he finds favor with God. What am I saying here? A lot of times we want what we want, but I always ask this question, you know, just like you asked me, how did my wife and I meet? My question is, did you find what God hid for you? Because a lot of times we see stuff and we get eye candy and we want that. And it looks good. But what I always tell people, you got to live. You see the body, but you have to dwell with the spirit.
And that mind too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got to dwell with that spirit and that mind. And so the body, that casing may look good, but is that the right one for you? And that's what happens. We get into a lot of issues when we don't seek counsel of the Lord. Is this the one I should marry? And then I get a lot of women that ask me, I want to get married. I want to get married. I say, well, are you doing the things, and are you in the place to be found? Mm. Because the Bible says, whosoever findeth a wife, are you in the right place to be found? Because if you're hanging out in all kind of places, you're going to be found by the wrong type of people. And then you're going to have the wrong type of problems.
You're gonna be found by Pookie, and Pookie might not be the one you were looking for.
So that's what's happening. So and you look at all of those things, and then you understand that coming together. The other thing, the third thing you were asking me about, some specific tips, is understanding expectations. Understanding expectations. Because a lot of times in marriages where difficulties come along, it's like you have an expectation of an individual and they didn't even know you were expecting that of them. So now you're upset because they didn't do something you expected them to do when they didn't even know you were expecting them to do that. Mm. So another exercise I often do with couples is I say, okay, I want you to take out a piece of paper. I want you to write down 10 things you expect your spouse to do. And they write down these 10 things. And I say, now I want you to change lists. And you should see the looks on faces. They're like, you expected me to do this? But see, that's communication. See, because if I don't communicate my expectations, we can't say no, I'm not doing that. Yes, I can do some of this. I can do it part of the time or some of the time. And that's where problems arise. And they say, oh, she ain't doing what I want to do. I got to go. Well, he ain't doing what I want him to do. Got to go. And the other understanding is you can't train anybody. You can't make anybody change.
And you know what I think is powerful about that, and you're right on course with that, is that a lot of time people get into relationships, Vincent, and they actually believe that they can make this person better. They actually believe that somehow they have the power to make this person like this or like that, and they don't realize that for a change to happen, a person has to first change within, and then they start to change without. But it has to be a decision made by them. You understand? Mm-hmm. Like you can suggest all day long. You can suggest all day long, but it has to be a decision that's made by them. And if they get to that point in their life, then anybody can change. But what I've learned in relationships is that the moment you try to dictate somebody's change, the moment your expectations of what their change needs to look like, is the moment you run into a whole lot of problems. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's incredible. So let me ask you this now. Everything can't be hunky-dory in every marriage, right? So how do you get over some of those obstacles and still remain in there? 26 years, that ain't no small feat, brother. That's a long time. You know, I got the 10 years and I was trying to jump out the window. So I'm just, you know what I mean? I'm just being a little silly here, but you know what I mean? Like it was my time, you know, for that to end. So I'm not speaking bad about somebody. I just want to say that, you know, you're in your moment. So how do you stay there even when it's at its worst?
Knowing the commitment that you had in the beginning, God, prayer, communication, and understanding this, and this goes back to the beginning, that when two individuals enter into this, they understand the biblical concept that two are becoming one, one in everything. We're pursuing this together. We're pursuing our dreams together. We're in this together. Yeah, as we say, he's my ride or die buddy, ride and die buddy. And you have to understand that. And you're going to disagree. But the key is, okay, let's sit down. Let's talk about this. How can we come to a mutual understanding and even agree to disagree, but not cause division? Understanding where each person is, it's all about communication. A couple weeks ago, I believe it was, I preached a sermon. Sometimes you just got to talk it out. Even God said, come, let us reason together. And what happens is a lot of times people want to hold things in, don't want to talk about it. Then it festers, then it gets big, then it blows up. Then you got to mess. Then you got to say, I'm out. Well, you got to communicate. And you got to say, let's resolve these issues together. And the challenge is togetherness. Everybody wants to be an individual. But when you come to the marriage, you're still an individual person. You still have your individual needs and you have your friends, but understanding that this relationship is all about unity and us working together for common goals. Even in businesses, sometimes everybody don't agree, but a common goal is that bottom line. You may be able to give up some things to make another extra $100 million. And that thing that you're giving up in the long run turns out not to be that important, but it's all about communication. And sometimes you have to sit down with somebody else to help you see things clearly. For example, even myself, have coaches. Sometimes I don't see things clearly. I can ask them questions and they can help me to see things. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we, instead of saying, let me go see the pastor, let me go see a counselor, you say, let me go see the courthouse and sign divorce papers. But if you can get with somebody to help you walk things out and walk things through, and then take ownership of that which is yours and make corrections, it's going to be tough. But the key is, do you want it? Mm. That's the whole bottom line. Do you want it?
Yeah, very, very powerful. Do you want it? And I think that's what a lot of people run into, whether they want it or not, because a lot of times they don't know if they really, really want it. They just think they want it. And I think there's a big difference between love and lust. You know, you know what I mean? Because a lot of people throw that word love around, and it's not necessarily that they're in love, but they're in lust. They're in love with what they think love is, and they're in love with what they have been shown in the media and on television, what is love. But they're also doing love in that way that people will, a lot of times, it don't work because it's a little bit more complicated than they think it is, if that mm-hmm. makes sense, right?
Yes.
So,
most definitely.
Because here's what I've learned about love, Vincent. Very, very simple. You have to love yourself before you can ever really love somebody else. Do you agree with that?
You have to know what love is. Because mm-hmm. if you can't clearly define what love is, how can you love somebody else?
Mm-hmm. And
and that's the problem. People are seeking something that they don't even know what they're looking for. And then that's why things become fleeting. And this makes you happy today. This makes you happy tomorrow. This makes you happy the next day. And it's always a moving target.
Mm, very, very powerful. So let me ask you this, Vincent. You was talking earlier about, you know, people knowing what they want and knowing what they want at that moment versus what will happen in the future. Let me ask you this question. When you get to that point in that relationship where it just becomes normal and taken for granted, what do people do to spice that up and take it back to that point of like when you first met? Because you know, when you first meet somebody, you're doing everything you can possibly do, Vincent. You know, you're sending her roses, you're sending her candy, you're going for walks in the park. But what happens after 20 years of walking in the park? How do people intellectually stimulate each other after being married for so long?
Well, I mean, from the beginning, I think what happens is people stop doing the things that they did in the beginning.
Mm, whatever, all that old saying, whatever you did to get her is what you got to do to keep her.
Correct. From the same standpoint, I mean, even you know, it's so interesting that even the scriptures speak to that. In the book of Revelation, when the Lord was dealing with one of his churches, and he told them, he commended the church, he commended them that they were doing some great things. And he said, y'all doing everything right, but I got one thing against you. And he was speaking, this is in Revelation chapter 2, when he was dealing with the church at Ephesus. He said, man, y'all doing some great things at the church. Y'all doing all this stuff, but I got one thing against you. He said, you left your first love.
Mm.
He said, you left your first love. He said, you got to return back. And basically what it's speaking to, they had things down to a routine and to a science. It became so systematic. But they didn't have that heart and that burning desire as they did in the beginning. So what he's saying, you got to return to your first love. And that's the same thing in a marriage. You got to return to the first love.
Very, very powerful. So let me ask you something. When you thought about getting married as a young man, because, you know, you said for a while that there was a time you ain't even think about getting married, you know, per se. When you did decide, okay, this is the woman I want to marry, right? What was the deal makers and the deal breakers?
I didn't have any deal makers or deal breakers. The only thing was understanding that I loved her and she loved me. And we were going to do what it takes to make it work. That understanding. And coming to an understanding that now when we do this, it's not I and mine. It's ours. And the biggest challenge that comes down to that is that ours part. Everything, it's ours. From the toilet paper to the money in the bank account, it's ours. And that's where you have to come together and say, how do we manage our money? How do we manage our household, taking input? And you see, that's why I said it's not a dictatorship. But here's the understanding that the man is the ultimate is ultimately responsible for everything that goes on in his household. And I share this with men all day long. I say, I don't care how she treats you, what she say. At the end of the day, they're going to come back and say, well, what did you do? The buck stops with you. And so that means you have to understand. And that's why the Bible tells us that we must live with our wives according to knowledge. What knowledge? You know her ins and outs, how she, all those little quirks. You know, men are simple. And I always say this, we're simple, but not simple-minded. When I say simple, it doesn't take a lot to please us. Because we don't get caught up in feelings and emotions. And that's why we have to understand that women thrive on emotions. And so you, as a man of your house, you have to know the emotions of your wife and how to deal with her. And so just because you got something going on today don't mean you got to get upset. At least you got to understand, how do I handle this? How do I deal with this? And that comes from a position of love. And I often share this with men, because, you know, from the raising of your children, it's the man's responsibility, even though the wife does a lot of stuff in the house. But it's not that the woman has to do all these things. You have to come to a mutual understanding. Because I share with people all the time, one thing I told my wife, she would never have to do is my laundry. My wife doesn't do my laundry at all. I take my shirts to the cleaners, I wash myself, sometimes I iron and press my own stuff. I clean my house. I do the outside of my house.
I know
how.
You better stay married, because there's probably be a lot of women like that. Because I'd be damned if I do mine. I'm sorry, brother. I can't roll with your dad. You all in it. You get in that little boat by yourself and just roll on out. All right.
But that's me. But remember, I talked to you earlier about experience in life shapes people's actions and their behavior.
Okay.
When I was growing up, my mom was the only lady in the house, and it was my mom, my two brothers, and my dad. My mom did so much laundry all the time doing this. I said, man, and I felt for my mom. I said, I get married, this is one thing I'll never have my wife have to do for me, because I saw the burden that it placed upon my mom, and she did it with joy and everything. But I was like, man, if I had to do it, no. I said, this is one thing I will do. And that shaped my behavior. So that's why I do my own laundry. So
I'm sorry I had to put the phone the microphone on mute, because I was just making some noise that maybe I shouldn't probably be on the radio. So
but that's me, because I often ask people, do you want to be with somebody because you need them or because you want them?
No, I totally understand. I'm just teasing here, you brother. But,
oh,
you know,
oh no.
My mom did all the laundry too, and I'm thankful. I bless. She's still here. I love her so much, and if she could do it, I would ask her. Could she do it right now? So, we just on two different pages on that one, brother.
And people, you know, and people are different, so that shapes my behavior. So, going in for me, that was not an expectation of mine. Which it may be an expectation of somebody else.
Absolutely.
That's why you have to get your expectations clear. Going back to, you know, the man is ultimately responsible. He should show good leadership. He should ask for counsel from his wife in making decisions that affect the household. Mm-hmm. He's not a dictator.
Exactly. Speaking of that, what about a lot of women have, especially... black women have become CEOs and running their own companies, and they're no longer doing some of those things that men would expect, and a lot of them don't even feel like they even need a man at this moment in their lives. How does the different turnaround and the CEOs that are women that are happening nowadays, how does that come into play now?
Well, if the woman is not ready to be married, and she knows that, it's best that she doesn't get married. So that's okay. Now, understanding that even though, you know, they may have executive type positions, you know, what they do at work doesn't necessarily translate at the home. Even if they bring it down.
There's got to be a balance. Definitely got to be a balance.
Got to be a balance. I mean, you know, you can't come home running your house like you the CEO. When it's not in God's design. Now, you may bring some skills and things to the table to help guide this household from a uniform or unity perspective, but ultimately, you're not in control.
Makes a lot of sense.
And that's something that they have to understand from the beginning. And here again, if you're not ready for that, you're not ready for marriage.
Very, very powerful.
Because it'll present some problems long term. And this is what I tell men all the time. And they come and I say, I want to, well, I got issues here. I got this and this. I say, I got one question for you. And they say, what? I say, are you dead yet? And they like, no, I'm not dead. I'm here with you. I say, good. You got to keep on ticking. Here's why. Only in a relationship is a man commanded to love his wife. The woman is not commanded to love her husband. At all. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wife. And then it gives you an example. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, he died for the church. Have you died for your marriage yet? See, this is where it comes to a point in time where this thing, it gets beyond goosebumps and you making your toes curl up and you just shaking and trembling. You know, it gets down to real love. Regardless of what's going on, have you died yet? Have you given your all? Have you done everything? Have you exhausted every option? Not telling you to be no henpecked man and to be run over, but viable options to make this thing work. And women are not asked to love their husbands because love to women comes naturally. What they are asked to do in Scripture is to submit, and to, when it says submit, it means to respect your husband. So now it's hard for Eon. It's not asking me to love him. I love him. But do you respect him? Respect him enough to submit under his leadership and follow him where God leads him. That's the challenge for women.
Wow. You know, you said some things that I don't think a lot of people are realizing how much hard work it really is to withstand and stay in a marriage in today's time, and especially in this digital world we're in right now, because a lot of young people see that just as quick as you can change your phone number, you can change your woman or change your relationship, and it just doesn't work like that, you know, in that capacity. So, man, Vincent, I can tell you, man, this conversation can go on and on and on for years. And I think you gave us some great points. There's a lot more we got to attend to at another time. But if I ask you, give me three things that can make a marriage last, in your final words, what would they be to all our listeners? It's only just me, you, and about 2 million listeners here.
What it takes to make a relationship last.
Right, a marriage. Not just a relationship, a marriage, because that's what we talk about today, brother.
Marriage. Okay, marriage. One, the individual's relationship with God. Mm. Because you talked about loving yourself, and to truly understand marriage, because the Bible sees the relationship of Christ to the church as a marriage, a bride and a bridegroom. So you must have a relationship with God. Because when you have a relationship with God, you no longer need anybody to fulfill you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need anybody else to complete you. And that's a lot of times people look at marriage, well, I'm going to find somebody that completes me. No, you must have a relationship with God. And then you must keep God at the forefront of the marriage. That's number two. Because if I have a relationship with God, I have God at the forefront. So when I have issues, I don't run to people. I run to God, and God is his word and doing that. And so then what's the third thing? Prayer. And I pray. And I'm going to throw the fourth one out there, is communication between you and your spouse. So it's your relationship with God, keeping God at the forefront, prayer, and communication between you and your spouse.
Absolutely, man. Wow, that's very powerful. We're definitely going to have to do a part two, because we didn't even get to half of the questions I wanted to answer. And I noticed that you talk a lot. So no wonder you're a pastor. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
But ladies and gentlemen, I hope that before we get out of here, if people want to learn more about you, Vincent, where could they reach out to you, brother?
They can reach out to me at VincentTEdwards.com. That's my name, first name, middle initial, last name, VincentTEdwards.com. And you can also find information on the church's website at TrueHolinessCogic.org. That's True Holiness, COGIC, as in Church of God in Christ, .org.
And as I tell you, he's a real pastor. He ain't one of those play pastors. He's one of those pastors that when he get down, boy, he get down. When he get on that microphone, he on that microphone. But most importantly, he's one of those pastors that practice what he preaches. Because there's a lot of people out there not practicing what they preach. He actually practices what he's preached. 26 years of marriage to the same beautiful woman, and a beautiful family. And ladies and gentlemen, as I always tell you, you can only learn from those who have done it. So that's why I wanted to talk to somebody who's done it and doing it. All right. A lot of times people come on these shows and they ain't been in a relationship in 10 years, but they want to tell you how to keep yours. Yeah, all right, bro. We'll wait on that one. You know what I mean? So I appreciate you being so honest and forthright with your communications with us here, right here on the Benny Love Show. And I appreciate
you. May I say one other thing?
Go ahead, brother.
For everybody that's listening, because I know you were asking me questions, but for those of you who want to know, my wife's name is April, and I married April in the month of April. So I just wanted to put that out there. You'll see that on the website, but I wanted to let everybody know my wife's name is April.
And that's probably why the universe had me have him on the show, because I was born in April. So you see how all of this is going around? I was born in April 26, all right, 19-something. All right, you see how all of this is going around here? So, you know, you just never, I never knew that, though. That's amazing, though. I know your wife's name is April, and you married her in April. And I was born in April. Boy, you going to hate your bad self.
And I'm going to go one deep on you. You know, the first dance we danced to, the song, our first dance.
It better not be April Showers. I know that much.
April Love.
April Love. Wow. That's pretty deep, brother. I appreciate you on that one. That's pretty deep, right? So y'all make sure y'all go out and Mr. Vincent T. Edwards, He's Googleicious. You can find a lot about him. We'll have him back on the show because I really don't think we answer a lot of questions because that brother can talk. You hear what I'm saying? There's a reason he's a pastor because he can show enough talk. He can throw, you know, like those people that can come to your family reunion and have about 10 plates. You know what I mean? When nobody else had one plate, he had like 10 plates. Yeah, that's how it's going down over here, you know, on the microphone. So I appreciate you, brother, coming on the Benny Randa show where we're just trying to make people get it right in everything we do. You're listening to, I said the Benny Randa show. I mean, Late Night with Benny Love. I'm all confused. I don't know who I am today, ladies and gentlemen. You're just going to have to ride with me. You know what I mean? That's what happens sometimes. You're going to just have to ride with me, okay? All right, until next time, you're listening to Late Night with Benny Love right here on the Bashani Radio. Make sure you go over to the IG and you follow us, and we'll follow you back, baby, because that's how we do. Or you can go to Bashani Radio, or if you got a question for me, you can go to BashaniRadio.com and click on the Benny Love tab and leave me a message or email, whatever you want, and I promise you, I really promise you, I will get back to you, right? It might not be this year, but I'll get back. I'm just joking. Leave your message, leave your email, and I'm going to probably talk about you on the show. All right? Until next time, I love you, and you can't do nothing about it. Benny Love, the concierge of love, your chief love officer. Good night, live from New York.
Call your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store. The all-new Bashani Radio app. For iPhone and Android, you may be in quarantine, but you are not home alone.